Thanks for joining us today at Springwell Church, where we want to draw spiritually thirsty people to Jesus by loving God, loving each other, and loving the world. We hope that today's message builds you up, gives you a little insight, and helps you find a brand new perspective. You can find us in Taylor, South Carolina, and online at springwell.org. That's springwell.org. Now let's jump into the message.
We've been in this series that we've been calling To You From God, where we've been talking about what are some of the things that if God were to write Springwell Church a letter in 2024, what are some things that he might would say? Today, I want to continue that series by talking about the source of what we really need in life. I watched a documentary series a couple of years ago, and I don't even know why I was watching a documentary series. I'm not that smart guy that watches a lot of documentaries, but this particular one caught my eye for some reason. Maybe I was that bored. Maybe there weren't any sports on. But I watched this documentary series about World War II called World War II in HD. Anybody seen that? You might not even remember it either. But one of the parts of that documentary series that really stood out to me and that I've thought about or had in the back of my mind ever since was there's a portion where the prisoners of war are being released at the end of World War II from Nazi prisoner of war prisons. And the documentary talks about how the nurses are there to greet them as they are released from prison. And just kind of like as a welcome home kind of thing, they give these people who have been prisoners a little piece of chocolate. And they talked about how the prisoners would take the chocolate and then they would almost like try to hide it and wrap it in toilet paper and like stick it in their pocket before anybody noticed. Now keep in mind, they were free at that point, but they were still acting like they were a prisoner. You know, I think the same thing can be true for us. Whether we know Jesus or not, I think we can be free. We can have everything that Jesus promises us, but we can still feel like we're living as a prisoner. We can still feel like we're missing something. The truth is, no matter how close you are to Jesus, no matter how godly of a person you are, there will still be times where you feel like you're lacking something. Maybe time, maybe money, maybe energy, maybe knowledge, it may be resources. But I guess my point this morning is, do you ever feel like you're lacking something that's not tangible, but it's something deeper? Like you're lacking something that everybody else seems to have. Do you ever look at the people around you and you think, they're so joyous all the time, but why don't I feel that? Do you ever look at people around you and think, you know, they seem to have all of the answers to their problems, but here I am with just a handful of problems and I never have the answers? Or maybe you even look at people around you and you think, they have this amazing amount of peace, even though I know what's going on in their life. How do they do it? I've got some good news for you this morning. Number one is those people are probably faking a lot of it. Just keeping it real. We're all struggling through this thing called life. We all struggle with a lack of joy. We all struggle through times of anxiety and times of worry and times of wondering, like, am I doing this thing right? Am I enough? We all have those times where we're just having to kind of make it through life. Whether others perceive that we're dealing with that or not, we all have those moments. And let me just say from the jump this morning, if you are chronically or you are deeply in a place, in a bad headspace, get help with that. Go to the doctor. But I think all of us have these moments where we're just struggling through life. My second good news for you this morning is we do have a place that we can go. We do have someone, we do have something that we can go to in order to fill back up that thing, that hole that we feel like we're missing. Today, I want to talk for the next hour and a half from this topic. I'm just kidding. It won't be that long. I know you have Mother's Day plans, but this is the topic. Go to the source. Go to the source. I hope after all is said and done this morning, I hope the thing that you can get into your mind, into your head, is to go to the source. I want to look at a story in John chapter 2. And just to kind of set up John chapter 2, Jesus has has recruited some of his disciples at this point. As best I can tell, he has six disciples that he's recruited at this point. And he and these disciples and Jesus' mother, Mary, are invited to a wedding celebration. Now, most scholars would think that this wedding celebration is with a family of humble means, just based off of kind of what happens in the story. And so they decide to attend this wedding celebration. Now, just a side note, this doesn't really have anything to do with the main point of the sermon, but I think it's really interesting that Jesus was a social person, that he actually went places, that he actually hung out with people. Because I don't know, maybe I was raised with this idea that when Jesus wasn't teaching or performing miracles, he was sitting on a rock drinking kombucha or whatever they call it, and just humming all the time. Like, that's the picture that I always had in my head. But I think it's important to note that even though Jesus was fully God, he was fully human. And so even he was a social person. I love that point when it comes to this story. Let's start reading in verse 1. It says, "The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities." So they've experienced a place of lack. They've experienced a place of lack, lacking something that they felt like they needed. Now, it's important to note that a wedding festivity in this time period is different from now. They did not go to the knot.com to RSVP before they got there. They didn't hire a wedding photographer, but weddings were actually even a bigger deal then. You see, a wedding celebration in this time period would have lasted a whole week. It would have lasted a whole week, and new guests would have arrived daily throughout the week to celebrate the bride and groom's new marriage. And when Jesus and Mary and these disciples show up, I don't know if it's day 2, I don't know if it's day 6, I don't know what day it is, but the day they show up, the Bible says that the wine supply runs out. Seems like a small deal to us, but it's a big deal to the time period because this was a huge embarrassment for them, which is one of the reasons why scholars believe they were people of humble means, because the wine ran out. And it's such a big deal that according to the law of the time, they could have actually been fined for the wine running out. Sounds crazy to us, but it's a big deal to them. On top of that, oftentimes in Scripture, and especially during this New Testament day, wine represented joy. Wine represented joy. And so essentially what this bride and groom are going through is they are entering into a marriage, and already from the jump, they feel like the joy is missing. Some of you have been married for a long time, and you feel like the joy is missing. But what if it would have happened on your wedding day? If it would have happened on your wedding day, you would have thought, oh no, I'm getting myself into a mess. And so here they are, entering into this marriage, and they have ran out of something that they really, really needed, even something that would have symbolized the joy that they would have had for the future. And my question is, do you ever feel like your joy has run out? Do you ever feel like your joy has run out? Like, you're just not a joyous person anymore. The things that used to make you happy, they don't make you happy anymore. You don't feel like talking to people. You don't feel like going to work. You don't feel like doing anything social. And you just get to this place of just going through the motions. And maybe today, maybe the thing that you feel like you lack has nothing to do with resources. Maybe you have plenty of resources. Maybe you're able to pay the bills. Maybe you do have some good things in your life, but if you were searching your life today, you would have to say, no, I have enough resources. The thing I'm missing is I'm missing the joy. I'm missing the peace that comes deep down inside of me, and I haven't figured out how money can buy it. And here's something that I believe. I believe sometimes it's even worse when you're lacking joy than when you're lacking resources, because you get into this place of feeling almost guilty. Don't you? Where you say, look at me, look at all I have, look at what I have, look at what God's blessed me with when he hasn't given it to other people. I should feel better than this. And so they're lacking something that they need. Do you ever compare your joy to other people? Do you ever compare your happiness to other people? And so you see their pictures on Facebook where they're smiling in every one of those. Their family photos on the beach in the white t-shirts, they look all happy, and you couldn't even get your stinking family up on time to go to the sunrise. And it seems like everybody around you is just kind of skipping through life, singing a song. But yet here you are, short on joy, short on peace, lacking and running out. And I think sometimes we can get to the place of even the things that used to bring us joy don't bring us joy anymore because we have a deep hole. Look how Jesus' mother, Mary, responds here. It says, so Jesus' mother told him, they have no more wine. Listen to this response from Jesus. Dear woman, some translations leave out the word dear. Woman, that's not our problem, Jesus replied. My time has not yet come. But his mother told the servants, do whatever he tells you. So Mary has a solution. Mary's solution is to go to the source. Now, it is an interesting interaction there between Jesus and his mother. Because some of you, it's Mother's Day. Let's be real. Had you looked at your mom and said, woman, you probably still wouldn't be able to sit in a padded chair, would you? But if we understand the context of, actually, from what I read, it's almost impossible to translate what Jesus says there into modern-day English. And so this translation says, dear woman, probably the closest we can get to a good translation there is lady. But this isn't a mean term. This is actually a respectful term that Jesus is using here. And so Jesus turns to his mom with respect and basically says, it's not my problem. It's not my time. Which begs the question, your time for what? You see, Jesus knew, this is his first miracle. Jesus knew that when he began performing miracles, that it was going to start the clock on the amount of time that he had on earth. Because the second he began to perform miracles, the religious leaders would get heated, the religious leaders would get jealous, the religious leaders would get mad, and they would begin to plot to kill him. So essentially what Jesus is saying is he's saying, I can't do anything about it because if I do something now, it's going to cut my ministry short. But Mary does what only a mother can do and basically ignores what Jesus says. And he tells the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you. And she tells the servants, do whatever Jesus tells you. So let's back up and get a full picture of what's going on at this wedding in Cana. Jesus, his disciples, Mary, have shown up at this wedding. The wine has run out. There's a lack. There's embarrassment. There's even maybe a lack of joy. This is terrible for the groom and his family. And Mary looks at these servants and says, do whatever Jesus tells you. Did you know that's a huge part of us living a life with joy and experiencing everything that God has for us? That's part of going to the source where we can draw our joy, our peace, our value is to do whatever Jesus tells you. If you need something, can I just say, do whatever Jesus tells you. If you're lacking something, let me just tell you, do whatever Jesus tells you. If you need peace, do whatever Jesus tells you. If you need something to change in your life, do whatever Jesus tells you. Whatever you need, one of the biggest keys for us is going to be whatever Jesus tells you. There are people listening to me online or in this room today, and you feel lack, and you have been trying to do what Jesus tells you. You've been trying to follow him. You've given your time. You've given your tithe. You're generous. You're a giver. You've been waking up in the morning, or you've been going before you go to bed at night. You've been reading his word. You've been seeking for Jesus, yet you're in a position where you feel like you're lacking, and sometimes that is the case. But here's what I've learned, that if I'm following Jesus and I'm doing whatever Jesus tells me to do, I can be lacking, but I'm never lacking alone. I have someone to rely on. Now, there's another segment of people listening to me, and you're lacking something. Maybe it is the peace of God. Maybe it is a relationship strain that you've been going through. Maybe it is a financial strain. But you haven't been doing what Jesus tells you. And oftentimes, we can get to the place of wanting the things of Jesus aside from a relationship with Jesus. Sometimes we can want the promises of God. without following the patterns of God. And I think some of us get really, really frustrated at God sometimes because we don't have something somebody else has, and it's because we're not walking with God the way they're walking with God. See, God loves you. There are some things God's going to do no matter what you do in life. His common grace is real. He keeps you breathing. He keeps the planet spinning. He will look out for you. He will be by your side. But there are some things that God will only give you when you begin to do whatever Jesus tells you to do. And if you're lacking something today, I would just challenge you to look inward and say, am I doing what God's calling me to do? And it's just the way it works. Because there's some things that we only receive when we're walking in relationship with Jesus. And if it's not his fault that he can't give us something when we don't put ourselves in a position to have it and to receive it. And she looks at him and she says, hey, do whatever Jesus tells you. Notice, you don't have to be perfect. Like, I'm not saying that this morning that in order to receive the joy and the peace and the things that you want, you have to be perfect. No, you don't have to be perfect. You just need to be walking with Jesus. All of it flows from a relationship with him. If you're here this morning and you haven't accepted Christ, you don't have a relationship with him, I pray you do, because there's nothing like walking through life with the source of life. I think Mary's words in all of this reveal her heart as well. Notice what Mary didn't do. Mary didn't begin to tell Jesus what to do. Did you catch that? I mean, she is the mom. She had that right. She could have said, hey, boy, get over here. Get to work. It's almost like even in this situation, Mary trusted Jesus, that Jesus was going to do the right thing and was going to glorify God in the process. I think one of the reasons, as I talk to some of you, and as I even wrestle with this myself, I think sometimes we're missing the joy that we so deeply long for because we've gotten really good at telling God what to do. We've gotten really good at telling God what to do, and here's what I know. God knows so much more than me. If the only way that I'm going to be joyful in life is when God is doing it my way, I am setting myself up for disappointment. Because I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that there is a God who knows more, who does more, who works in ways that I don't understand, who works in ways that I can't comprehend, who sees things coming that I can't see, and who exceeds my expectations. And so if I'm so busy planning out the course of life that I don't trust God with any of it, I am setting myself up for disappointment. And some of us will look at the activity of God, and because his activity doesn't match our plan, we will assume he's let us down, when in fact we have let ourselves down because we have not trusted him. We have been waiting for him to complete our agenda. Some of us, the biggest enemy to our joy is our own expectations. Because you've plotted it out, right? How he's going to get you from point A to point B. You've even decided who's going to be involved in the plan. You've even decided how long it's going to take to complete the plan. You've tried to control it because you thought you knew best, and now you find yourself with nothing but bitterness because God didn't do it your way. My wife and I, our favorite way to vacation is to go on a cruise. Anybody else? I love going on a cruise. Let me try to sell you a cruise real quick. I love cruises because I hate crowds. I hate traffic. And so when you go on a cruise, you only have to sit in traffic one time, and that's at the port. Once you get on that boat, you don't have to think about anything. Like, you don't ever have to get out of the room if you don't want to. You don't even have to get dressed if you don't want to. Just don't go out on the balcony before it gets out in the middle of the ocean. After it gets out in the middle of the ocean, you can't even go out on the balcony. Everything you could possibly want is taken care of. It's all paid for, unless you want to exceed what you've already paid for. It's the best way to vacation. Now, let's suppose the next time we went on a cruise, I decided that I knew how the captain needed to take this boat in order for me to have the best trip. And so I thought the week before, I planned out the trip. I stayed up late one night. I snuck into the captain's cabin because I knew how this was supposed to go. So I tried to get into the captain's quarters. I finally did. And every time he didn't steer the way I wanted him to, I was disappointed. Or every time he didn't quite go the speed I wanted him to, I was disappointed in my own experience. Don't we do that same way with God every single day when we try to tell him how to steer our lives? When we try to say, God, I really think this should move along a little faster. And we get so fixated on what we want God to do that it sucks the joy out of our life because he doesn't do exactly it. Can I just tell you today that God is really good at being God? And can I also tell you that you can trust him? What if we could live from a place of trusting God so much that it takes so much more to zap our joy, takes so much more to still our peace, because we just trust that he is taking us in the right direction? Because I struggle with that sometimes, do you? I struggle with the direction, and if I'm being completely honest, the thing I struggle with more is the timeline. And because he doesn't meet my expectations in the speed of his action, I assume he's not working, and it sucks the joy and the peace right out of my life. The servants have been called, and then in verse 6, it says, standing nearby were 6 stone water jars used for Jewish ceremonial washing. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. So the servants followed his instructions. So you didn't have to. I did the math while I had a calculator available. If there were 6 jars, and let's say that they were 30 gallons each, that's 180 gallons of water. And Jesus looks at these servants and he says, fill them with water. Let's just suppose that these servants did what we so often do. And once it had barely gotten over halfway, they thought, they're filled with water. You know, if we put any more water in these things, it's going to be hard to carry them back. Let's just stop right there. He said to fill them, it's more than half full, so we can stop. And sometimes our lack of joy is in what we refuse to complete. Some of you today are struggling through something with somebody else. And the reason why it continues to be a struggle is because you refuse to have a difficult conversation. Some of you are missing joy in your life, and you are riddled with guilt. And the reason the guilt continues to eat you alive is because you refuse to submit yourself and make an apology. Some of us today are in a place of lacking what we feel like we need because of what we refuse to do. As I prepared this, I really think that there's somebody listening to me today, and you have gotten to the place where you have no joy and no zeal for life, and the reason is because God has been telling you for so long to do something, but you haven't done it. And you've just been waiting and waiting and waiting, and it is eating you alive. Can I just encourage you this morning? Whatever it is, let me say this, whatever it is that lines up with Scripture, y'all don't go and do something stupid and say your pastor told you to, but whatever it is and it lines up with Scripture, can I just encourage you today? Today is the day to do it. Put it on your calendar for tomorrow. Make a phone call. Send a text. It's time to move. If not, you will continue to have it on your mind. You will continue to labor over it, and it will continue to steal the things that God has for you if you continue to refuse to do it. God is saying, do it. Sometimes our lack of joy is an unwillingness to do our part. But these servants, they get the jars, and they begin to fill them. These jars would have been used for ceremonial washing. They were made of stone because stone would have been believed not to be able to contact ritual uncleanliness. But these jars were very common of the time. And sometimes I think we're missing our joy. And the reason isn't because of what's happening around us. I think sometimes we miss our joy because we overlook the common things of life. Like, a lot of us, we wait on the big things in order to get excited about them. We wait on the big things for them to bring us joy and to make us happy. The big life events, the big vacation, the graduation. And we wait on these big moments in our lives to celebrate and to have joy. But do you know, the people in my life that seem to be the happiest and most joyous people are the ones who have learned to celebrate the common things of life. Did you know it's okay to laugh for no good reason? Did you know it's okay to laugh at yourself? It's okay to laugh at the little things in everyday life. It's okay to dance when there's no music. It's okay to laugh at an inside joke. It's okay to laugh at the little things of life, because if we wait for the big things, most of our life aren't the big things. Can I just encourage you, find joy in the small things. Find joy in the little frustrations. Find joy in even the stuff that goes wrong that's not that big of a deal. The other day, just a side note, I don't have this in my notes, but the other day, because I'm a good husband, I always wash our son's clothes on Fridays when I'm off. You're like, you probably should. Okay. So I made the mistake of washing his fitted sheet with the rest of his clothes. Nothing can hide something like a stinking fitted sheet. And so, no joke, I go to take his clothes out of the dryer, and I cannot figure out, this fitted sheet isn't just like, doesn't just have like stuff packed in the corners. Like, I didn't find a sock in each corner, but it is literally like balled up and tied up together. It took me 10 minutes to figure this thing out. 8 minutes in, I was almost furious. And do you know what I thought? When I tell this story, it's going to be hilarious, so why don't I laugh now? Sometimes you've got to laugh at even the frustrating things, because joy is found in the common things of life. So these servants, they fill up the jars. And then it says in verse 9, when the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, not knowing where it had come from, though of course the servants knew, he called the bridegroom over. A host always serves the best wine first, he said. Then when everyone has had a lot to drink, he brings out the less expensive wine. Makes sense, right? But you have kept the best until now. We have to go to the source. Here's the key in all of this. And I know it sounds super spiritual. It sounds like what I'm supposed to say, but it really is the key. The solution to my lack is to correct my source. You see, today, the reason you feel a lack may have nothing to do with what you have or what you don't have. It may have nothing to do with what you've lost or what you've gained. It may have nothing to do with the rejection you faced or the marriage that you're in. It may be the source that you're trying to draw your joy from. And for a lot of us, I don't think the solution to this feeling of something deep within us lacking, I don't think the answer is to correct our course. I think it's to correct our source. Because I think we'll do that sometimes, right? When we get into those seasons of being really low for a while, we'll make these big changes thinking we're going to break out of it. And so we'll quit our job, or we'll quit our marriage, or we'll buy a new house, or we'll buy something. But I don't think that's what God's asking us to do today. I don't think for most of us, I don't think we need to make this big sweeping change in our life. I think we just need to go back to the source of what really everything comes from. Jesus is at this wedding as just a regular attendee. He had performed no miracles to this point. But he was the source of what the bride, the groom, and everyone at that wedding needed. Now, please don't hear what I'm not saying this morning. I'm not saying that this is some pie in the sky. Let me talk to Jesus. Let me laugh my way through life and everything will be okay, y'all. That's not the way it works. If you've lived longer than 6 months, you know that that's not the way it works. But what I am saying is, when you have a source that you can draw from and a source that you can return to, it makes those times bearable and it makes them able to get through them. The servants filled the jars, and Jesus fulfilled everyone at that wedding. So to finish the story, verse 11 says, this miraculous sign at Cana in Galilee was the first time Jesus revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. It was a miraculous sign. What's a sign? A sign is something that points to something else. So I don't want us to miss in this story that this is not just a cool Jesus party trick. Like, this isn't just something for him to get some attention at a wedding. This isn't a cool party trick. But what Jesus is basically saying in this moment from his first miracle in John chapter 2 is he is basically telling everyone at the wedding, he is telling us today that I know you may feel like you've run out. I know you may feel like you don't have enough, but I have a plan and I am going to fulfill every person that accepts me as their Savior. He's saying, I have what you need if you would go to the correct source. Jesus is still the correct source for what we want most. And it's interesting to me that Jesus's first miracle is a quiet miracle that some scholars still can't even figure out why he did, except for his mama told him to. And it was at a small wedding. But some of God's greatest supply in our lives will often be in the quiet miracles of our life. Will be in the day-to-day, the sunrise and the sunset, the text that you get at just the right moment, the laugh that you have at the stupidest of things. I'm telling you, Jesus wants to be your source. He wants you to go to him for the things that you need, not just the physical things, not just the stuff, but the stuff you need at a deeper level. Warren Wiersbe, who's a theologian and a commentator that I absolutely love, he says this about this passage. He says, if our Lord had preached a sermon after he turned the water into wine, what might he have said? For one thing, he likely would have told the people that the world's joy always runs out and cannot be regained. But the joy that he gives is ever new and ever satisfying. The world offers the best at first, and then once you're hooked, things start to get worse. Y'all have experienced that. But Jesus continues to offer that which is best until we one day enjoy the finest blessings in the eternal kingdom. Go to the source. I don't know what it is you feel like you're lacking today, but I know you have a God who cares about you. And I know you have a God who wants to meet your needs, not just the tangible ones, but the ones that you haven't told anybody else about. As the band sings this next song, there's a card in your seat. One side of it says, to God from you. Maybe you would take the time during this song and you would just write a prayer to God, coming back, asking the source to fill you with the things that you desperately need. If you want to, you can hold on to those. You can bring them up here. I'll be up here if you want to pray with somebody or if you want to come up here and pray. But I feel like a lot of us today, we need to return. We need to go to the source. He has plenty. It's the well that never runs dry. It's an abundance of joy and blessing that he has if we'll go to the source. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to give you a chance. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I want to give you a chance to go to the source of life, the source of truth, the source of hope, the source of joy. If you've been trying to do it any other way, what you've probably figured out by now is it does not work. There's only one who would, even though everything was created through him and by him, would step onto dusty earth, would live a sinless life, would die a criminal's death and would raise from a victorious tomb for you. He did it for you. And if you don't have a relationship with him this morning, go to the source. You can just do it. The Bible says that you admit that you're a sinner, you believe in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, and you confess with your mouth that he is Lord. So usually we just ask you to say a prayer, but it's a change of heart. It's a surrender. If you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, just say, Jesus, I'm going to the source. I know I'm a sinner. I know I've missed the mark. I know I've let you down. But I feel so empty right now. So right now, I just put my trust in you. I surrender my life to you. I confess you as my Lord. Take everything. More of you, less of me. That's how I'm going to try to live my life. God, I thank you for being the source of everything we really desire. God, I pray that we would be people who go to the source when we feel empty. That we would walk with you, that we would desire you over the things that you give us. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it is active. I thank you that it still speaks to us just as much now as it did 2,000 years ago. I thank you that it's truth. I thank you that it's complete. I thank you that we can rely on it, that we can count on it, that we can believe in it. And today, God, I've tried to unpack your word. Holy Spirit, would you continue to teach us, continue to move in our hearts as we continue to go to the source, to draw from for everything we need. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.